Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast contains explicit content.
You masturbated her?
Yeah, it was, orgasmic meditation. It was...
Okay, orgasmic meditation. But, yeah, but you actually...
It's almost like a meditation. You just focus on that one spot and you both focus on that one spot. And
the spot is
like
her clitoris.
Yes.
Yes.
The upper left quadrant.
Right.
The clitoris. And it, when we had a coffee before doing it, she was the one who was sort of calming me down, saying it's fine. It's because to her, it's as long as it's between consenting adults, it's okay.
Stand up. That's Luke McGregor, the incredibly sexually liberated, comfortable in his own skin comedian who stars in the 6-part ABC documentary series Lukewarm Sex. If you've seen the show or know anything about Luke, you'll know it. He hasn't always been thus. Awkwardness is his calling card, and he's made it part of his comedy persona. But what most of us never knew was that he was actually suffering from excruciating self-doubt and physical inhibition. Naturally, though, below that, there were levels of complicated psychology that, by some miracle, he's been able to not only identify and confront, but do it on camera. In case you haven't seen it yet, Lukewarm Sex isn't a salacious, bawdy collage of innuendo and dick jokes that you might expect from a young male comedian. It's actually a generous, intellectual, heartfelt guide to sex, intimacy, and physiology. It's full of kind people answering the questions of an honest, vulnerable man. It's beautiful, and there's also a really helpful puppet vagina. I'm Michelle Laurie, and this is the Nitty Gritty Committee, stories of the guts and the glory of life. Stay tuned at the end of this episode for some advice from my old pal Will Anderson. But first, some advice from me. There are some graphic sexual references in this podcast, so please take that into account when deciding when and where to listen to it. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Luke McGregor. Has the sex experience, the sex show, the documentary about sort of, how do you even describe what the sex documentary is about, the series?
Better at sex, I suppose. Yeah, how to get better at sex.
But your baseline, if you pardon my saying, is really low.
In terms of, really low, yeah.
You're incredibly uncomfortable with sex.
Two times, my life at 33.
So has working through that made you more outgoing and assertive in other areas of your life? And
yeah, it has. Because that's kind of the last thing I didn't want to discuss in public. OCD and other anxiety and all that stuff was fine. But sex, I was just like, I used to, up until that point, pretend that it was something that was going fine in my life, especially around friends. And if we were having drinks, sharing stories, I'd be like, we're going good too. And then even just when I have someone, because I was having people come back to my house and I was pretending to go to sleep or just saying, I can't get a direction, I'm really sorry. And then people the next day would say, how'd you go? And I'd be like, great, really good, thank you.
I remember hearing from mutual friends that, oh, McGregor's going great. He took a bird back the other night, had a girl around the other night, and we were all like, oh, great. So when I saw that in the series, I thought, oh, yeah, I think I know some of the friends you were lying to about that.
Oh, yeah. Sorry if you're listening, guys. But, yeah, I was. I was really I was just – because I didn't want to – and I was also worried that it was – if that perception got out, no one would have sex with me. So it was cathartic to have it all out there. And now if it does feel – it is freeing and it has given me more confidence to talk about it because it's, I've got nothing left to hide anymore.
Yeah. I wonder if it's the same as being a fat person. Like, when you're a fat person, you sort of worry that people will, like, that's the last frontier of how someone could hurt you or insult you is, I go, oh, shut up, you're fat, in any situation.
Yeah.
Whereas, was it similar with you? Was there a feeling like I can't ever be truly assertive or anything because they might call me out about my physical, you know, strangeness?
I kind of got around that by just pretending that part of my life was not going to happen anymore. Like, I'm just like cutting it off and saying, all right, well, that's just not something that's going to be in my life. And because I didn't have a lot of your sexual experience, I didn't really know what I was missing out on. I think now if it got taken away from me, then I'd be like, oh, wow. But up until that point, I just didn't know. So I was able to be more confident, like kind of pursuing career stuff and things like that, because I was, if anything, I'd focus more on it because I, because I just sort of didn't have that as part of my life.
I guess you weren't distracted.
Definitely not.
A lot of us as young.
A lot of time to finish a lot of video games. Yeah.
A lot of us as young comedians, or I guess young anything in your career, you can get distracted by sex, and then you weren't.
Yeah, it was. I was a lot of time to do homework and other stuff. But it was, yeah. I don't know. I kind of see it as separate. Are you the same? Do you see? Do you see it as separate to the career stuff, or do you see it as
see what?
Body image and things like that?
Yeah, it's funny. I do. I always did. It's like, because body image does stuff doesn't bother me anymore. But when I was younger, it was a really big deal to me. And I'd even think to myself, okay, then how is it you can stand on a stage in front of people and assume this role, this leadership role, and have everyone and ask everyone to look at you if you hate the way you look so much? So I think you're right. I think I compartmentalized it.
Yeah, because it's like the fact that, you know, you can be anxious but do this job or do stand-up.
Yeah.
And people say, how can you be both? It's just like, well, I do it, but I feel really scared about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a bit like that. Feel the fear, but do it anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm used to doing that.
Yeah, like the anxiety's still there. I just really like doing it. So I
and
try Oshie and push
Ginsburg,
through it.
Oshie Ginsburg puts it in a really interesting way. He's got terrible, terrible anxiety. And he says that when he's on TV presenting or on a stage, he is in charge and everyone has to stop what they're doing and listen to him. And he said in his way, that's like his ultimate empowering situation. That's when he doesn't feel anxious.
That's amazing too, because he seems so calm and collected, that guy.
I know.
It's hard to imagine him having, like, I can't picture him backstage being nervous. Because he just projects confidence.
Yeah, but he says that the times that we see him are these brief moments where he feels at peace.
Yeah.
He's really focused on what he's doing and everyone's quiet and, you know, he's allowed to just do it.
I think it's the same with, like, people who, you know, when you skydive and things like that, like, it's scary, but, you know, once you're up in the plane and, you know, everyone's saying your turn to jump, you just do it.
Yeah.
You feel like it's the alternative is not as easy, you know, that you don't get to experience this thing.
Yeah. So when you would meet girls and they'd be increasingly interested in you because you started being on telly and stuff like that, and you're a really funny comedian, so they probably saw you at gigs and found you attractive because of that. Did you feel like, okay, I can do this, I can do this? Was there a lot of psyching up going on previously?
Yeah, there was. And I just saw sex, dating, the whole thing is just such a big deal, and that and I would read things like The Game or like pickup technique stuff, because I just was desperate for any sort of help in an area. And what I found with a lot of that stuff is that they're teaching you techniques that make you seem like you're comfortable with yourself. So they might say insult someone, but what they don't tell you is that if you are comfortable with yourself, you might have playful banter with someone, whereas they're just telling you to do banter, that's not, you got to go one step further back, which is feel like you're enough, and then you don't feel like you're getting something from someone when you're dating. Whereas for me, I always used to feel like I was getting something from someone by dating them, whereas you're not, you're sharing something, and you're making each other more, like, it's
that's fascinating language to say that you've got to feel like you're enough.
Yeah, like, you're not,
that's fascinating.
They're not there to complete you, they're there to you know, you're there to build something more special together. Mm-hmm. I think and you know, because that's not the only gauge I know is whether a relationship's good or not, is whether you, when you're together, is that more fun than when you're not?
But that's a really good point, you know, feeling like we're in this together, not that I'm needing you to prop me up or to fill a hole in me or to make me feel enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Where do you think that feeling of not being enough came from? I know when you were a kid in Tassie, you spent a lot of time with your nan, and I saw I read an article in which you said that that she just represented complete unconditional love for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Was that the only place you felt you got that?
Yeah, at the time it was. Yeah, it was. Even that was me allowing myself to feel that emotion in that environment. So that was still me having rules for being happy. Whereas now I try and have as few rules as possible to feel good, like. Because you're still giving yourself that emotion, even in that situation.
What do you mean? What were your rules for happiness at Nan's?
Oh, I don't know. I just I knew because Nan would never yell at me or never tell me off or never made fun of my appearance. I just felt very safe around her. I could talk to her about anything.
The rule was. As long as I'm not challenged
in any way,
I can be happy.
Yeah.
But I have that environment at Nan's, and so I'm calling that place happiness.
Exactly.
And I can't call anything else happiness because that doesn't exist anywhere else.
Yeah, and that was making me not, you know, that was setting up rules for me to be happy that didn't need to be there. So I'm as I get older, I try and have fewer ways to be happy.
Because certainly part of being in a relationship is criticism. I mean, I can't remember who did it. There was a comedian years ago who said, I had to get married, otherwise how would I know all the things that are wrong with me? And so, you know, like that comes out in relationships, and yet you still have to find a place to be happy with that person. Now that you're in a relationship, has there been criticism? Have there been arguments that have tested this?
Yeah, it's it's hard. And my only fear is that I haven't been in another relationship. This has been my only one, long term. And by long term, I'm only talking maybe 4 months now. Yeah. So I feel like I don't have anything to compare it to. But so I just keep going back to that idea of, am I more happy when I'm with her than without? And the answer is yes. So I am happy you're with her. So that's been enough. And whenever we've had a disagreement, we've been able to talk it out. Because I'm assuming, as a relative novice to this, that love is work.
Yes.
Yeah, and that it's going to be great, but there are also moments where you do have to work at it.
Yeah, and you have to forgive, and you have to find ways to still be happy, even if the person you love is really mad at you.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you have to be happy in that moment, but I mean, you have to be able to live with yourself if they're angry with you. It can't be Nan's all the time, you know.
Exactly. Because how long have you been in one for?
I was married for 20 years.
20 years.
And just recently divorced, So, and it was my first long-term relationship as well.
I feel like a bad friend for not knowing that.
No, that's fine, babe. I try not to make a big deal out of it because I'm okay with it and I don't want sympathy. And certainly when you're in a relationship, I don't want to feel like I'm going to shit on your relationship.
Oh, no,
I'm not that person, you know.
No, you've had 20 years of a very good run.
It's a great run, a really good run. But I can really relate to you about it being my first relationship. We had to negotiate, and my husband was older, so it wasn't his first. So we had to negotiate all that stuff. I didn't really know how to argue constructively or positively and not just go all out.
Yeah. Save up all your ammunition.
I mean, how are you finding that, the politics of being in a relationship with a woman?
She's got an incredible memory.
We all do, babe.
It's all kind of fun. It's like even when we have had disagreements, it's kind of fun working through it. You know, like as long as the base feels solid, and I'm really enjoying it. I mean, I'm conscious, I guess, because you know she might listen to this. So it's hard to go too much into it, but it's been really nice just having someone who is
you know, who likes you and you like them. It's just, it's a nice thing to have in your life.
It's so nice. It's so nice to have someone you look forward to seeing to at the end of a day, or when you're on a trip that you can't wait to get home and see. And
yeah,
isn't it?
And she's away at the moment overseas for a wedding, and I miss her, and I even like feeling that. Like, it's kind of nice to miss someone.
And know they miss you too.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
How would you describe Mamma Mia out loud in one word?
Podcast.
No, we want to tantalise people to listen to the show.
Things that are in the news.
Isn't that a bit boring?
It's not always the news. Sometimes it's the stuff everyone's talking about.
Come on, guys. I just need one word.
But you can't describe it in one word. We're women. We need all the words.
Politics, gossip, feminism, family.
Okay, so talk?
Women talk.
Three women talk.
Mamma Mia out loud!
Drops every Wednesday. Subscribe in iTunes or your favourite podcast app.
Have going for you is that very few of us enter any relationship, let alone our first relationship, having just lived through this intensive self-improvement program.
Yeah, that was full on.
That you put yourself on. I mean, I binge watched the whole thing in one go. And so it was so emotional. There were so many times where you said, I want to cry. And you're very good at that. You're very good at voicing what's actually happening to you in the moment. Because oftentimes I'll think later, why didn't I just tell them I thought I was going to cry, you know? But in the moment I kind of don't.
Yeah, I just find it's that alone can help. I remember having in Adelaide, I had a panic attack in front of the audience where I started to hyperventilate.
On stage.
Yeah, I just wasn't. I was just really nervous that night, and I started to hyperventilate, get all pins and needles everywhere, and I just told the audience, just said, hey guys, just say no, I'm going to have to sit down for a second. And I gave the mic to someone in the audience and just said, can you just talk for a second while I get my breath back?
See, in my personal journey, that's like one of my biggest goals, is just to try and be that in touch with myself in the moment and that confident and open to say to people, and like not trying to shield myself and pretend I'm better than I am, like to be able to say out loud, I'm actually having a panic attack. I'm actually, you know, so I just so admire that about you. And that was such a great gateway into this series.
Oh, thanks.
When you went to see the naturists, those old nudies are out there around their pool table, all nude, right? And then you go into a bedroom and you say, and you're meant to get nude. This is a moment where you're meant to get nude and you hate being nude and you're going to do it on camera and in front of them. And you just say, I think I'm going to cry. I cried. I was just like, I can't imagine.
Oh, thank you.
I just can't. I put myself in that situation. I was like, I just could never do that.
I really did think in that moment, I've made a terrible mistake.
I thought you had as well.
Yeah, I was just like, what am I doing?
I thought you had as well. Was it Tom Ballard a couple of years ago wanted us all to do stand-up nude? Was it Tom? Was
I'm not
someone...
sure. I remember something like that. One of those went
remember
around.
Remember that email we got from our agent saying... And I remember thinking, I love the idea, but for me, that's just never possible.
Yeah, it's I was surprised at how freeing it felt, but when I did it, but I'd never be able to. It's I still today haven't been able to get across what it was like. Like I wouldn't, I just didn't know I'd feel that way until I did it.
Yeah,
and so everything you're saying, I relate to completely, and. Yeah, it wasn't like she got naked and I was naked, and after about 10 minutes, I'm like, oh, wow, this is fine. This really doesn't matter.
It's amazing.
It took, I wouldn't have believed myself if I'd gone back in time and said to myself in that room, hey, it's going to be fine. I'd be like, no, it's not. It's going to be the worst.
That's what actually stepping out of your comfort zone really is, isn't it? It's not like we think we do it all the time. I'm out of my comfort zone. But actually that being, to do that, that would be like, okay, I'm literally in space. I'm so far out of my comfort zone.
Yeah, that was the pain came later when I was in the edit suite with the editors, with the editor and the director working on it. And because before we'd put the black box on my genitals, they were just there. So we're doing these cuts, these long cuts with it just waving around. And people were just coming in like to change the bins or to say, do you guys want coffee or... just coming in to catch up with one of us, and my bits would be there on screen, and no one knocks. So we put like black cardboard on the door and stuff so people couldn't see inside. People were just walking to the en suite. That was another level of being okay with it that I didn't expect to have.
But then, I mean, you got to the point where you and your friend Chrissy.
Yeah, yeah.
You masturbated her.
Yeah, it was, orgasmic meditation. It was,
Orgasmic meditation.
It's funny, that one's, the goal is not to climax with that one. The goal is to, it's almost like a meditation. You just focus on that one spot and you both focus on that one spot. And
the spot is
like
her clitoris.
Yes.
Yes.
The upper left quadrant.
Right.
The clitoris.
And you're rubbing it.
Yeah, I was full on. I didn't think I'd be able to. It was such a crazy thing. And I didn't know where the clitoris was. And I'm like, yeah. I can't, how am I supposed to ask while I'm doing this thing? Yeah. So I was looking up online, where's the clitoris? What's it look like? And I'm like, well, maybe hers is in a different spot or it doesn't look like that. Or,
yeah.
But yeah, just as a fact that I'd never done it with a friend before. And Chrissy was the one who was comfortable with it. She is really interested in sexology and things like that. And she was interested in the core.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Horse. And when we had a coffee before doing it, she was the one who was sort of calming me down, saying it's fine. It's because to her, it's as long as it's between consenting adults, it's okay.
She's the opposite of you in so many ways. I mean, this and me. I mean, this is a girl who is so confident. I guess from what I saw with her body, with nudity, with touch, with sexuality.
She was nervous too because both of us were sort of. A little, we had an idea, but we're still a bit vague about exactly what it was. Because when we were sort of writing the series, we were trying to, like, once we knew the area we wanted to cover, we'd try and make it so I was sort of kept in the dark what the actual class was, just so I didn't, just so it was genuine reactions when I went.
So when the lady was saying to you, okay, so this is what's going to happen, you and Chrissy were sitting there on the floor with her, and she said, and you're going to put your hand under her buttocks and your finger. Just rest your thumb there,
yeah.
And then you're going to move your finger around and you're going to stroke that like that. What were you thinking?
But my biggest fear was I was going to hurt her somehow. I was really worried about hurting her. But, again, that just reinforces that idea that if you're communicating, it's all fine. But it was, we've caught up since and it just wasn't an issue. It was just a physical act between two consenting adults. And it's funny for me thinking of it as not a big deal now, whereas before that, huge.
Oh, unbelievable! Unimaginable.
Gigantic. Like I never could have imagined that.
Even if I say now,
it's not a big deal. I remember what I was like, a few months ago.
Yeah. And the guy. The pornification of our culture is an issue that I think about a lot, that I, worry about. It's probably not something I need to worry about, but I do.
People coming in with injuries.
Yes.
Because they've seen something online and thought that's how you do it. And then it's like, no, not
at
all.
That's not actually how it happens normally. And even that guy when you were sitting on the bed at Fed Square in Melbourne and people were jumping in and you were talking to them about sex.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that guy said his first experience was a nightmare because he... came on her face.
Yeah, he thought you're supposed to finish by coming on the face.
That's what he thought you meant
to do. It's just like that. That's what you do. It's
a
like,
literal cum shot for a camera angle.
Yeah.
And he thought that's what girls love.
And he's just like, oh no, that's not the case.
The poor man. He said, I could tell from the look on her face immediately that was not what girls love. That's not what you're meant to do.
And that's what happens, I think, is if you don't have, if you're not talking, if you're not getting educated about sex either at school or by your parents or somewhere, then porn can often fill that gap. Huh? And that's a problem if you're taking it too literally.
Yeah.
Because a lot of those positions are just for camera angles.
Absolutely.
They're not necessarily comfortable.
It's the same with shaving, you know, women having no pubic hair and all that, or anyone having any pubic hair. I mean, that was initially about camera angles, and now it's just the reality. It's the thing, you know.
And the level of warming up you're supposed to do, or making sure the area is lubricious, I think the word is.
So right.
Like it's all that stuff just doesn't get covered. Even movies are pretty bad as well, because they'll just show two people like starting to kiss and falling on a bed, then it'll go to curtains.
Yes.
And then they wake up and it's
beautiful.
Brilliant.
Yeah. At the very most, they'll show them both, you know, orgasming at the same time.
Yeah,
in perfect harmony.
With no discussion to certain preferences or anything like that.
No.
It's just now we know exactly how each other functions perfectly. Yeah.
What sort of feedback have you had? I noticed in the news, I didn't click on it, but I noticed a headline the other day about Gogglebox freaking out about
Gogglebox,
it.
Yeah. So they were actually surprisingly supportive. That was very, very nice.
I heard a lady on the ABC, funny call on the ABC in Melbourne to John Fain's show, saying, and I saw an ad and it was a huge vagina, be 15 inches tall, this vagina, and everyone was sticking their fingers in it, and it's not education, it's, you know. And, of course, Fain was loving it and teasing her out and getting her to talk more about the 15-inch high vagina.
That was the vagina puppet she
yes,
must be talking
it
about.
It was that beautiful puppet. So it was a lot of that our taxpayers' money are paying for all this and all that. So, I mean, what's the feedback been for you?
It's been good. It's been people have been really supportive, which has been nice. I mean, there's always negative stuff, I guess, as you know, with any time you're doing public eye stuff. But
well, certainly, I mean, any time you do anything in public, but I think we're in one of those patches again where anything on the ABC is very scrutinised and people are very quick to say it's a waste of public money and, you know.
It's hard with art because as much as I, I love the ABC. And it's always that thing with art is it's a hard thing to justify economically in a certain sense. But then again, I don't know, like if you make a TV show, it employs so many people, like it gives so many people jobs that I feel like it is maybe a bit dismissed sometimes as an employer. Art can employ so many people and it's not, you know, it's one of those things that you can keep growing as an industry. I don't know. I try not to read comments because I find like I as much as I like getting the good feedback, the bad ones can stick with you. So I feel like you might as well just avoid it all. I don't know.
It's so ridiculous, isn't it? You can read 15 glowing things. You read one nasty one, and that's all you can think about. And you're so hurt. And,
yeah. Who is this?
Yeah. Yeah. But you must have had some feedback from people saying thank you.
Yeah, it has. Yeah. People have been messaging almost every day, actually, just to say thanks. Sorry, I feel arrogant saying that, but it's made it feel, I don't know, it's because you sort of put all that stuff out in a vacuum, you're not really sure what everyone thinks.
Yeah.
So to get those messages and...
But this stuff, more...
People saying they're showing their children because they want them to learn about, which, you know, they're showing their son and daughters because they want them to learn about this stuff.
For us to see a 33-year-old guy who clearly comes from a great home, has beautiful parents who love him, has a beautiful nan who loves him, is smart, funny, seems to have the world at his feet and is plagued by insecurity about his sexuality and his body and, as you said before, feeling that he's not enough. I think that taught me a big lesson as a parent. As a parent, I thought, wow, how can that happen when it looks like you've done everything right as a parent? How can your child grow up as an adult with that lack of self-confidence? So, for me, it was really meaningful in that sense. I was like, you got to teach your kids this stuff.
Yeah. Mum and I have talked about it since because she's come out and she said to me, like, I had no idea.
Did she express guilt about that?
Yeah, she felt bad. She felt guilty. And I said, it's okay. Because it was the same for her when she was little. No one talked to her about it. Yeah. Like, they just didn't discuss it. So that sort of cycle of awkwardness just continues. I don't blame them because they probably would have had even less education than I did growing up. So,
and yet here they are famously your parents with their fantastic sex life, which we all know about.
Oh yes, the best.
So they kind of fumbled around and found their way through it. I mean, I don't know. In some ways, we're sort of, there's porn everywhere, but also, do you think we're a bit more conservative than we were?
Yeah, I don't know. It's, I think there's a lot of everyone worrying what everyone else thinks. Like, I know I do. But where is it? I think everyone wants to talk about this because who wouldn't want to talk about one of the best activities we get to do as humans?
Yeah.
Like, it's, and to, you know, improve at it. Because if you don't talk, like, even if you learn a specific technique, if you don't ask the person or they don't tell you whether they prefer it a bit firmer or a bit faster or anything like that, then you're never gonna have great sex or as good a sex as you could have if you were actively sharing your likes and dislikes or what you found pleasurable or what you'd love, what you find more exciting if they tried this time, or even something as simple as I'd really love you to dress up as my favorite character from the show. Like, it's that one's it's okay. It's just like, I don't know, there's just so many different ways to have fun with this thing, with sex, that it's crazy that we don't communicate about it more.
Yeah, you're a big one for the communication now, right? That's your kind of advice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very much so.
Were there any of the things that you learnt through the series that really that really worked on you? I mean, I'm thinking about some of the things you learnt to massage your genitals from that gorgeous man. Who is he?
Oh, Adam Seymour?
Don't you reckon he could be Charlie Pickering's brother, by the way?
Yeah.
He reminds me so much of Pickering.
Oh, you mean Jared Osborne?
Yeah, that's him,
Yeah, the guy with the curly hair.
Yeah, I was like, he could be Pickering's hippie brother, that guy.
They do have a similar look.
And they have a similar sort of gusto and enthusiasm when they're passionate about something. And Jared's very passionate about massaging your balls.
Yes, he is. Made my showers a lot more interesting.
So there's that. There was the Lady Barbara and her dragon pulsing when she kind of sat on you and looked to me like she was going to shatter your pelvis.
It was, that was one thing we did film out of sequence. That was one of the first thing we filmed. So that was a real baptism of fire.
Do you think, as I'm watching it, I'm thinking, is this because you're inhibited? Or is it because she's actually hurting you?
Yeah, I don't know. That was, again, if I had just been further in the doc, I maybe would have told her.
She was straddling you at about your hips, and she was pumping up and down on you, really pumping up and down on you rhythmically.
Yeah, and I had talked to people who'd done it, who enjoyed it, and I think I think it came down to me not telling her, because it was one of the first things we filmed. Oh. Hey, can you go a little softer, or can you change positions, move slightly up or slightly down?
It's funny because I did think that when I was watching you, because you were, your voiceover was saying this was really hurting me.
Yeah,
but you and I was thinking, why aren't you telling her it's hurting? She'll probably lay off if you tell her it hurts.
Exactly. And it goes back to my whole issue with sex, was that I wasn't sharing any of what I was feeling. So, you know, that whole, all the pain I got in my pelvis from doing that activity could have been alleviated if I just said, hey, can you just go a little softer?
You're hurting
like,
me.
But
it's hard for us to do that. It's hard for us to tell a hairdresser we don't like it. It's hard for us to tell someone we don't like a meal. You're very well raised. You're polite.
Too polite in that case. It really
looks like it hurt. What about the cunnilingus lesson? Now, that's the one that the most people have talked to me about. I've heard mentioned the most. I mean, that, again, I thought you were going to cry, and it looked like you were having a bit of a panic attack when this lady held half an apple just in front of her vagina. She was clothed, and she asked you to simulate cunnilingus on the apple.
Yeah, and I was trying to relax. I'm just like, come on, it's just an apple.
It was so confronting, though.
But I'd never been in that position with someone before. I'd never gone down on someone before, and I'm a germaphobe, and I was worried about taste or the
of the apple or of the actual
Vagina. Sorry. So that when I did that class, all those sort of fears came to the surface all at once, and then I was also worried about how embarrassing it would be, and which was annoying because I did want to take the class. I have since done that activity and it's been great and it was all fine.
Yeah, great. But that class was incredibly confronting, I think, for anyone that would be confronting.
Yeah, it was. It was.
She's a porn star, so she's so, bless her, she's so free with herself, and she's gyrating her hips a bit. She's sitting up on the back of the couch in a kind of porn position.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There's other people in the room, and there's cameras, and she's asking you to lick this apple, and I'm like, my God.
It was.
And then she's saying, now suck it a bit, and I'm like, wow.
It was full on, and it was where I most thought, oh, people are going to watch this show, it was. But I'm glad I did it. I just, but at the time, I was
it did. It shook me up a lot.
Yeah, it looked like it did. I thought you were going to cry.
I think I had a sneaky one halfway through.
Sneaky cry?
At least it got choked up anyway.
Yeah. I thought you did.
Yeah.
I did think you did. Look, thank you so much for today. And also thank you for, can we talk about the show coming up?
Yeah.
So you're about to move back to Tassie.
Yes.
To make a TV show.
Yes. Rosehaven, 8-part sitcom for the ABC.
That's what it's called, Rosehaven.
Rosehaven, yeah. It's the name of the town. It's just two best friends running a small town real estate agency. My friend Celia Piccola is the other half.
How hilarious.
It's been fun. It's just that we've been writing it together for so long. Now it's weird to, I say in the, we say in the script, my character Daniel has some certificates on the wall of he's from school, and then people come up to us and say, "Hey, what are the certificates?" We're like, "What certificates?" And like, you know, the ones you wrote about in the bedroom. The script, you're like, oh God, I don't know. Yeah, so it's
so you're the boss of it.
Yeah, it's starting to feel real now for us. We're having to make those decisions of stuff we didn't even think about, like what sort of car do you drive and like what colour is it?
You're the boss of it. This is your vision.
I guess we are. We're producers on it.
Well, that makes you the boss of it, darling.
All right. So we can say, hey, pack your bags.
Well, I don't know about that, but it means you have to know what the certificates are. Yes, that's what it actually means.
Exactly. So I can go home and work on those.
Well, I mean, none of that surprises me. Congratulations on that. I honestly think, I mean, apart from everything else, your show's about sex education and so mature and grown up and sensible, but it's also so much about courage to me. It's so much about saying yes and why not, and being open and honest about, you know, what you wish you were better at, whatever it is, sex or being assertive at work or, you know, whatever. It's so much about that. To me, it really spoke to me about just having a go and
thank you.
Doing it, and I feel like I'm going to cry, but I'm going to do this anyway. It's that, you know, when I see you in so many moments, I think, oh my God, he's going to cry. But he does it. You get down on your knees and you have a go at that apple and you just do it. And
really like apples, sir?
Yeah, I bet you do. And I thought, I hoped that out of that experience came a lot more love for yourself.
Oh, it did. Thank you, Michelle. I appreciate it. It did. It made me feel... no, sex is fun now. It's really fun.
Yeah, but beyond that, did it make you realise that you're a really interesting, brave, great person?
I'm getting there. It's I don't know, maybe it's just Australia and Britain. We're both like scared to
say
anything that's but I do feel.
I think we're scared to say it in case we're not. You don't want to go, actually, I think I'm really cool, and then have everyone else going, oh, shit.
Oh, no, they don't know.
She thinks she's really cool.
Exactly.
Yeah, but no, I think you at this moment can say to yourself quite confidently, geez, I was tough, man. I toughed that out. And that was really hard. And I don't think there's not many other humans who would have toughed that out.
I think, you know, I do. It feels good. Like, I'm really happy we made it, and I'm happy that. I went through with it, and I hope it helps others, I suppose. It was good.
Right, I won't subject you to any more flattery.
Sorry.
Good job. Thank you.
Thanks, Michelle.
Bye.
Stand up. Engage. This party's kicking like a wake. Our time.
The miraculous Luke McGregor, star of Lukewarm Sex, which you can watch at your convenience on iView. You can follow his movements on Twitter, where he's at Luke W. McGregor. Will Anderson's advice is coming up shortly, but first, I'd like to draw your attention to the excellent tune you heard through this podcast. It's a song called Dying to Leave by my good friends Colourbomb, who have an album dropping in June. That's right, I said dropping. Until then, you can find more of their gear on iTunes and SoundCloud, Facebook and Twitter. That is Colourbomb, Colour. I was listening to my friend Will Anderson's podcast, Willosophy, the other day. It's excellent, obviously. You should give it a listen if you haven't already. And at the end of it, he said something I didn't know, which was that if you go and rate this episode of my podcast on iTunes, it'll help it move up the list and more people will discover it. Is that true? I don't know if that's true, but let's test it. Please go to iTunes and rate this episode and let's see what happens.
Thank you so much for downloading. I'll be back with another one in 2 weeks.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.